In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. When our Lord Jesus Christ saw this poor woman in today's gospel that for 18 years had been bent over in pain and could not stand up straight, he felt compassion for her. He laid his hands on her and he pronounced that she had been set free from this infirmity. Her incredible suffering had come to an end, as regard, at least in relation to this infirmity. She immediately stood up straight and offered praise to God for her healing. But the ruler of the synagogue where Jesus had been teaching was indignant and condemned, actually condemned the Lord for healing this woman on the Sabbath. The Lord responded to this criticism with the stinging charge of hypocrisy. "You hypocrites," he said. And he went on to say that the same rulers of the synagogue that were leveling this criticism took care of their animals on the Sabbath. In other words, they thought it was fine to work for the welfare of animals on the Sabbath, but scandalous to set a poor woman made in the image of God who had suffered for 18 years to be set free from her debilitating condition. Not to mention the fact that Christ had performed a miracle in their midst. This offers us a vivid example of the crippling effects of sin in our lives. The gospel of Christ brings us a living hope that we who have been incapacitated, bent over, if you will, by our own sinful proclivities, can also be restored to the fullness of life in communion with Christ, our true God. This restoration begins in the innermost parts of our soul and it works its way out. The Pharisees' hearts had been darkened to the point that they would strain gnats over every little detail of the Mosaic law and totally miss the presence of God right before them. In this case, the ruler of this particular synagogue and others like him would place more value on animals than on human beings made in the image of God. Imagine that. We find that a little bit today, don't we, among certain groups. His orientation was wrong, and Christ made sure that he got the message. Today we celebrate the feast of St. Nicholas. If we look at the accounts of St. Nicholas' life, we see an overwhelming record of love for God and his fellow man. Here was a man who was born to wealthy parents who were God-fearing, pious people. So St. Nicholas was an only child, and he had access to much wealth and comfort. And yet, at a very early age, he embraced fasting and prayer as a way of life and displayed indifference to his parents' wealth. As a matter of fact, after they died, he gave it all away. He carried the love of Christ with him and lived a life of prayer, worship, and ministry to his fellow man. He had a great compassion for all that he encountered. Many stories have come to us that speak of his kindness and virtue in serving God. He is so beloved in the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church that he is not only remembered in the Synaxarion, but also on every Thursday. Could this be the same man who at the Council of Nicaea struck the notorious heretic Arius in the face? Will the real St. Nicholas please stand up? The truth is that he never sat down. We're reminded of his life each and every week of the year. It is a shame, truly a shame, that most modern day people do not have a clue as to what the real St. Nicholas is all about. His was a life dedicated to serving God and building his church. Even though he was temporarily stripped of his episcopacy for hitting Arius, he was quickly restored after several of the attending bishops at this first great council of Nicaea, the first ecumenical council, the first great council of the church, several of these bishops had dreams in which both the Lord Jesus Christ and his mother, the Theotokos, told them that St. Nicholas should be restored to his episcopacy because He did what he did out of zeal and love for God and the preservation of the truth. He knew that what Arius was teaching about Christ was evil and false and would lead to the crippling of the soul just as the Lord Jesus knew that the ruler of the synagogue was proclaiming falsehood and denying God's healing work done on the Sabbath day to the poor crippled woman. In both cases, the condemnation of evil falsehood was swift and unequivocal. Of course, Arius taught that Christ was not God, and St. Nicholas, along with the 317 other bishops at Nicaea, affirmed that the Lord Jesus Christ is true God of true God, which we reaffirm each and every time we state the Nicene Creed. And if he is not God, then we are lost. We too are bent over by our sins. Who will deliver us? He will, just as he delivered this poor woman who could not stand up straight. As we reorient our hearts toward Christ through repentance, prayer, worship, and almsgiving, we open our hearts to the healing and restoration that can only come to us from God. The one who made us, each and every one of you, including myself, out of nothing. And the more we immerse ourselves in the life of Christ communicated to us through the sacramental life of the Holy Orthodox Church, the more we will come to love God and our fellow man and desire to stand up straight and get on the path of salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Thank you.